All right, Alexander, we have some results in French municipal elections. Yes, municipal elections. Macron got drubbed. He got crushed. Not happy with his results, I imagine. What's going on in France?
Well, I mean, I think that we're starting to see the whole Macron movement. I don't know what to call it, actually. It's not a party, exactly. It's disintegrating. I mean, he's still in the Élysée, but I mean, he's clearly lost the support of the French people. The people who are on the left are now migrating en masse to the Greens. So, they're moving away from Macron. And lots of people stayed at home. And I suspect that most of those who stayed at home will vote for Marine Le Pen. And so I think that we are seeing the end, the beginning of the end, electorally speaking, of Emmanuel Macron. He did not handle the situation, the pandemic situation, terribly well. French people are not impressed by the way he handled it. The economy in France has been in a mess, and this is all on top of the ongoing malaise in France we have talked about many times in our various programs, which of course led to the Gilets Jaunes protests, which are still, let's be clear, there's still that current of them, they're still ongoing there. And so what is inevitably and unavoidably starting to happen is that opinion in France is migrating towards those parties which are seen as anti-establishment. As I said, if people lean to the left, the traditional left in France, the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, all those parties, they basically obliterated themselves because they're now part of the establishment. So people have migrated to the Greens, which, by the way, I think are an establishment party in France also. But I don't think people have yet twigged to that. But anyway, that's what they've done. And as I said, most of the population of France, I think, would vote ultimately either for the Greens or for Marine Le Pen's party when the next presidential elections come, because I don't really see what alternative there is.
All right. Before we get to a story out of Germany with Wirecard, one more quick question on France and one comment observation on France. You brought up the yellow vests. The first question that I have for you is, do you think Marine Le Pen can actually be the president of France? They will let her? They will let her get in? I mean, the media, the establishment, the globalists. I mean, I imagine they're going to do everything. They're going to fight tooth and nail. The EU, they're going to fight tooth and nail to stop Marine Le Pen from becoming president. That's number one. And number two is, I see a lot of people always trying to compare the yellow vests with BLM movement in the US. And I look at it as the yellow vests is a movement rooted in the fact that people's wages, their pocketbooks, were getting squeezed by the elitist, i.e. Macron, passing terrible, terrible laws and terrible taxes, and the people got onto the streets. So it was actually the people going against the elitist globalist in Macron and the taxes that he was imposing on them because it was affecting their daily life. And then I look at something like BLM and I say, okay, it may be rooted in an apparent protest by the people for unjust actions, but it is actually run and funded and organized by the elitists, and it's a top down revolution. It's the elitists who are actually looking to displace the people and to seize control of the system in full. So I mean, I think it's two very different dynamics. Anyways, it's just an observation.
Yeah,
and I would like your thoughts on it.
Right. Let's just talk about Marine Le Pen becoming president of France. The French establishment is going to pull out every stop, every device in order to stop her becoming president. So will the European authorities. There is no guarantee, even if she has a majority support, that she will be allowed to win the presidency. So, I mean, we're going to see a major political crisis, quite possibly in France, coalesce over the next few years, because there will be massive resistance to a Marine Le Pen victory. Whether she will be able to surmount it is another question. But I mean, let's not assume that she's going to win. What we can say is that she's going to get an awful lot of support, and perhaps enough support to win, but a lot will depend on her also. So, I mean, it's far from being a foregone conclusion And, you know, they will use every device that they can. They will use the criminal law against her. They will use the courts against her. Fillon, the right-wing French conservative leader who looked like he might win in the presidential election, which Macron eventually won, they've just jailed him. I mean, they've just given him a prison sentence. So that's the kind of structure that we're looking at in France. So it's not guaranteed that Marine Le Pen is going to become president of France. But, you know, at the same time, it's possible that she may, but it depends a lot on her. Now, Gilets Jaunes, the Yellow Vests, and BLM, they are not the same. They are the diametric opposites. The Gilets Jaunes, the Yellow Vests, grew out of France, rural, provincial France. It is a movement of the people of these areas who feel that Paris, the metropolitan globalist elite in Paris, has been continuously pushing them down. Some of these people in these regions were historically left-wing, some of them were historically right-wing, but collectively now they feel themselves under enormous pressure, and they feel that their society, their French society, is under enormous pressure. So it is a small town, anti-globalist, patriotic, nationalist movement. It is the diametric opposite of the Yellow Vests, of BLM. And not only is it the diametric opposite, you only have to look at the way in which the police react to the Yellow Vests and the way the police reacts to BLM to see the difference. The French police have been extremely violent in dispersing Yellow Vest protests, whereas in the United States, the police have stood aside as they've toppled statues, done all sorts of extraordinary things. And at the same time, contrast the way the media in France reports about the Yellow Vests and the way the media in the United States reports about BLM. In France, the media, which, to be very clear, shares similar sort of ideological views as the media in the United States does. In other words, it's neoliberal, it's globalist, it's all those things. It is monolithically opposed to the Yellow Vests, whereas the media in the United States is almost as monolithically in support of BLM. They are completely different things. The Yellow Vest protests are an insurrection, a genuine insurrection coming from the heartland of France. The BLM protests, as you absolutely correctly say, they may respond to certain structural faults within US society, which I do not deny, racial divides within US society, which I do not deny, but they are backed in the end by the Democratic Party and by the establishment. And the objective is to get Joe Biden elected president of the United States. If you want to know what kind of president Joe Biden would be, he would be the same kind of president, ideologically speaking, as Emmanuel Macron is in France. So that is the fundamental difference. They're not unlike, they are complete opposites. They are two completely different movements, and they should not be confused in any way at all.
Yeah, and while the Yellow Vest champions the rural heartland, BLM is very much about the urban center, the urban city center, going after the rural heartland. I mean, they detest the rural heartland of America.
Absolutely. So
even geographically,
absolutely,
their orientation is much different.
It's completely different. You see the Yellow Vests, they carry the French flag, the tricolor. The BLM people burn the American flag. There's a fundamental difference. As I said, they could not be more unlike. And by the way, I'm going to say something else, which is, of course, that most French people support the Yellow Vests. it's a fact which we need to always remember that that their grievances had gained enormous traction in France. I've seen opinion polls that in the United States people do not support generally BLM. They not because they don't understand that there are real genuine issues on race and all of that, but because they do not like to see the statues of people like Ulysses Grant or George Washington toppled. They do not like to see the American flag burnt. They do not like to see parts of their cities taken over. They do not like to see disorder in their streets and attacks on private property and all of those things. So these are completely different movements, and they should not be confused in any way. And people who say that you support the one and the other is exactly the same, they are not just different. They are opposites.
Yeah, you don't see Renault or Citroën or these big companies donating to the Yellow Vests either, do you?
Absolutely. No, of course not. Of course not. And nor do you get donations that are made to the Yellow Vests ending up, going to
in Macron's pocket.
Macron's pocket, which to be absolutely clear, as I said, there is no similarity between the two.
All right, let's move over to Wirecard. What's going on here, Alexander? Here's a title from Bloomberg. Former Wirecard CEO arrested in scandal over missing cash. Of course, we're speaking about Wirecard in Germany, which looks like to be the biggest case of German financial industry fraud that I've personally witnessed. I mean, this is incredible. This was the darling of Germany's financial tech industry. This was their star, their superstar that was going to bring Germany into the financial tech, pantheon of champions, so to speak. I mean, this was it, Wirecard. And now they're nothing more than a fraud. 1.9 billion euros missing.
Yes, I mean, I have to say straight away, I've been reading all about this. I mean, it was you who alerted me to the fact that Wirecard was, the whole story of Wirecard. So I've been spending a couple of days reading up everything I possibly can about Wirecard. And I have to say, my jaw has been dropping ever, ever lower the more I've been reading, because the extraordinary thing about Wirecard is that anybody was ever taken in by it at all. I mean, it started, as I understand it, as a payment site, a small payment site for people who use, going onto porno sites and that sort of porn sites and that sort of thing, and for gambling, for online gambling. And then it evolved into this supposedly gigantic company, and it became international, and it was allowed to float on the German stock market, the DAX, and it became, as you correctly say, widely cited as Germany's great tech leader. Now, the thing to say about Germany, and this is something which I've been talking about a lot on our programs, Germany has a tremendously strong industrial economy. It has a tremendous engineering base, but it's been an extraordinary thing to see how over the last 20 years, largely the period when Angela Merkel has been Chancellor of Germany, Germany has not succeeded in establishing itself on the internet as with a tech presence. I mean, you see technology companies of obviously the United States, you see them in China, you see them, by the way, increasingly in Russia. You don't see them in Germany, despite the fact that Germany has a pretty large German-speaking internet, and it should logically have all the science and technology resources to build a real company. What they created instead was a company which is a gigantic Ponzi scheme. What was happening with Wirecard, it's, I think, absolutely clear, is that they were floating, they were getting all of this support from the German regulator, from the German government. They were saying, we're this tremendous company that's going to lead Germany into the the world of the internet, into technology. They were getting all the money coming in. They were buying up Wirecard and payment services around the world. That created The appearance of activity and the appearance of size, but in reality, the entire business was not just losing money, it was actually a completely non-viable, and it wasn't even a proper business. You use the word fraud, that is exactly what it was. It was a classic Ponzi scheme. It is an Enron type Ponzi scheme. You remember Enron from all those years ago? It looks exactly the same, structured in exactly the same sort of way. But I remember Germans telling me at the time of Enron, well, you could never see that in Germany, because in Germany we are so rigorous, we are so careful. Our regulators look over these things with, an eagle eye. The European Union would never permit it. That only happens in the freewheeling culture of the United States. And what we are seeing is something which dwarfs Enron. I mean, it's actually probably in its various ramifications even bigger. And I think the reason for it is because at some level, the German political leadership began to worry that Germany was falling behind in establishing a tech culture. So they don't really understand how that works, because that isn't really what they do. So they came along to this Marcus Brown character who seemed plausible, and they gave him everything he wanted, and he ran off with 2 billion euros and created a sham company, and it is a massive disaster. Now there is talk about, investigating the regulator. I understand Ernst and Young, who were the accountants, have many questions to answer. There's going to be a lot of heart searching and soul searching in Germany, but it points to the deeper malaise in Germany. The Germany, for some reason, which I am convinced is connected with the stagnation of its political system, is seemingly incapable of moving forward and developing the new technologies that are shaping our modern world.
Yeah, CEO Braun was arrested and he's been granted bail by a Munich court set at 5 million euros. And this is from Bloomberg. It said that Munich prosecutors said Braun is suspected of inflating Wirecard's balance sheet and sales volume by faking income from transactions with so-called third-party acquirers, possibly in cooperation with other perpetrators that would make the company appear financially strong and more attractive for investors and customers, faking transactions.
It's a classic Ponzi scheme, as Enron was, actually, but with the fundamental difference that, Europe is supposed to be highly regulated, Germany is supposed to be highly regulated. The German regulator was constantly backing Wirecard. That's the real scandal, by the way. Not that Marcus Brown is a crook. I mean, there are crooks in every country, but that the German regulator was supporting him, so that he was constantly being given help. They were giving him, and this totally, fake company. They were giving it every opportunity that, because I should say something. This is the other big difference with Enron, by the way, because many people didn't understand what Enron was up to. But there were lots of people saying all the time that Wirecard, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. The figures don't make any kind of sense. The company's structure looks terrible. And yet, over the time that this was being said, the German authorities were consistently backing Wirecard and Marcus Brown. And they weren't just being backed by Germany, they were being backed by the European Union also. Because the European Union, to be very clear, is also clearly concerned that it is falling behind in technology. I frankly don't think the European Union will ever sort itself out on the technology fields. I don't think it knows how. I don't think the people who work in Brussels or in Berlin have a clue about how technology companies work, or how the internet works, or any of these things, or the necessary entrepreneurial and financial cultures that are needed to create that kind of thing. I think Britain, to some extent, has it, But of course, the problem with Britain is that we're overshadowed by the United States, with which we share the same language. I don't think Germany has that kind of base at all. It could be built, it could be developed, but instead, what they thought they could do is that they could cut corners by giving, all the help that he all he the help he wanted to Herr Marcus Braun, and here we are.
Yeah, this is textbook neoliberalism, isn't this? I mean, this
Absolutely.
is the legacy of Angela Merkel. This is the legacy of neoliberalism, which is what the European Union is built on. I mean, it's the fusion of government and big corporations and outsourcing as much as you can from the government to the big corporations. That's why you have such tight collusion and cooperation between the regulators and a corporation like Wirecard. I mean, this is textbook
Absolutely.
neoliberal governance, is it not?
Absolutely. You're entirely right. I have to say, 40 years ago, this really couldn't have happened in Germany, not on this kind of scale. I mean, there were things, there were corruption scandals in Germany. There was a big one involving Volkswagen, for example, not so long ago. But Volkswagen is a real company, produces things. Wirecard was a smoke and mirrors outfit. It didn't really exist. It was a fiction. It was a fake. It was something that was made to look like a technology company, but which actually wasn't a technology company. It was exactly what you described. It was a series of manipulations, financial manipulations, intended to give the appearance of something that had substance and size, when it had none of those things. But the German regulator let it happen. The German stock market people, the DAX, allowed it to float. The German government backed it. And it's exactly what you say. It could only happen in a neoliberal political and in culture where there is this complete interconnection between government and what calls itself business, which of course isn't really business at all.
Yeah, all
Because
right.
it's oligarch. It's an oligarchy.
Yeah,
It's a, it's a.
Obama was entangled in a couple of things like that too, I believe,
Yeah,
one
absolutely.
with the solar companies,
Well,
Cilantro, I
indeed.
believe
Well, indeed,
was the name.
absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he
I
was
mean,
also caught up in this type of stuff.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, but what I can say is this. I mean, the United States, I mean, Ponzi, but let's face it, was an American. I mean, the United States, because it has had a dynamic entrepreneurial culture, is always allowed some room for, people who are, you might call them shysters, if you like. Germany did not work like this. Germany isn't structured to work like this. The only reason it has happened in Germany in the way that it has with Wirecard is because the government willed it. I mean, it's not a product of its business, of its historic business culture. It is a product of its currently increasingly corrupted business culture. It is because of the way in which it's become infected with neoliberal concepts, which once upon a time Germany didn't have. It's why Deutsche Bank is the way it is. I mean, these are, and by the way, Deutsche Bank, I suspect we're going to discover, has played a big role in the Wirecard affair. But let's hold the horses there. We haven't yet heard the end of this story either. But it is neoliberal ideology which is showing its effects in Germany, and it's creating havoc as it does everywhere.
Devastating. All right. We'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Guys, hit that like, subscribe to the channel, go to the Durant Shop, pick up some mugs. You've got a mug right there, Alexander.
I
Alexander
certainly
Cross
do
is wearing
always.
a shirt. All right.
I'm never without a mug, and obviously you can see I'm wearing a shirt.
All
It's
right.
100% cotton, the best mugs in the world.
And look for us as well, guys, on Parler. We've opened up an account on Parler. Just search for the Durant. You will find us there. We are posting now there daily. So check us out there. All right. That's it. Take care, everybody.